Let us bow our hearts before the Lord and ask for his blessing of his word to us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you will have prepared our hearts now to hear you speak to us in both the reading and the proclamation of your word. Pray that you would graciously use your servant as your mouthpiece, anoint him with your spirit, bring to fruition his preparations for your honor and glory, and also that in this way you will speak to us and bless us. Give each of us your spirit to give our attention to you and what you are saying to us in your word. We pray this in the forgiveness of our sins, in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. As you see in the bulletin, our scripture reading is from three different passages in Proverbs. So I don't know if you have three ribbons in your Bible or pieces of paper or whatever you use. You certainly have three fingers, but whatever you use. So Proverbs 6, Proverbs 24, and Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26 is just on the other side, at least in my Bible, so that one's pretty easy to find. So maybe you only need two fingers. Proverbs 6, and then 24 and 26. First of all, we'll read from Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's Word. Proverbs 6, 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Then over to chapter 24, it's right at the end of 24, verse 30 through 34, Proverbs 24, verse 30, continuing on and reading God's word. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. And then over to chapter 26, verses 13 to 16. 26, verse 13, continuing on in reading God's word. The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. May the Lord bless the reading and the proclamation of his word to us this morning. Beloved congregation, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, last Sunday we heard from God's word about the heart of man, right? Proverbs 4:23. That out of the heart flow the issues of life. Well, also about work and the lack of work, being lazy, that too is part of the issues of life. That too comes out of the heart. That too is a spiritual issue at its root level, its essential base level. To begin with, let's remember that work is not a result of man having fallen into sin. I remember I was pretty young then, but I had this idea and my mother very quickly corrected me about it. Work is not a result of having fallen into sin. God created man to work. It's part of our created existence. God designed for man to work in service to Him. Also, remember how in the fourth commandment, man was given 6 days to work and the seventh as a day of rest. That's a pattern for life. And that's set by God, not by man. 6 days to labor and do all your work, and one day to rest. That is to be separate from your work and from, essence, the world. So it's a day separated for being with the people of God, for worship, to have that time. I wonder if we often forget that both of these are part of the fourth commandment. And yeah, brothers and sisters, we easily sin in both of these areas, in terms of work and also in terms of rest or separation. But also, we have to see and remember that in Christ we are redeemed in both of these areas. That is, our work is redeemed in Christ. That became very obvious what we confessed earlier from the Heidelberg Catechism, right? Our work is redeemed in Christ, so that we are given a heart for work. And then, of course, also our day of rest, especially the time of worship. That too is also redeemed in Christ. So in Jesus Christ, we have a heart to God, for God, in worship and also in work. Part of our righteousness in Jesus Christ is that we work and we are productive. So may the Lord be pleased to grant His grace to work in us also through His word this morning, that we as His people, if you will, flavor our society, the people around us, with righteousness in terms of how we work and how we have a heart to be productive. Our theme is, be wise by seeing the character of a lazy man and its results. In Proverbs 6:6, which we read, the New King James uses the term sluggard there. In other places, for some reason, New King James translated the very same word, sluggard, but translated as the lazy man. That's what we read in the other Proverbs there. Also in our scriptures in chapters 24 and 26. It has the same word, but translated there as lazy man. And also, by the way, a sluggard is not a slug. I'm sure that most of us have seen a slug. The word sluggard means someone who is sluggish, who is slothful. In other words, lazy. So in our first point, we see the character of the lazy man. When we think about the character of the lazy person, we should see, in a real sense, the Holy Spirit describes him as a tragicomedy. Maybe you know that Shakespeare is kind of famous for writing tragicomedies. You know, they were plays that showed a character that was tragic, but it was so tragic it was also funny. And we find that too when we read about the lazy person, the sluggard. It's tragic, but it's also rather funny. So, we read it in Proverbs 26:14, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a lazy man on his bed. Well, that's tragic, and yet, as you read it and you think about it, kind of makes you laugh, doesn't it? I mean, here is someone who's hinged on his bed. He's so lazy, when he wakes up, he kind of turns over, you know, just like a door on the hinge. And he can't get himself to get up. So back to sleep. Well, I'm sure glad my parents, I don't think they knew this proverb when I was young. Because they would have brought it to me, I'm sure. But yeah, in a sense, it's saying that, as the saying goes, he sleeps his life away. And when you disturb him or you prod to get him up, like in Proverbs 6:9, how long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? His response is, we read it in verse 10 of Proverbs 6, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. The lazy person is described as someone who gives little thought for anything, and it's like he says, just let me sleep. Don't bother me. And we see the ridiculous excuses he makes. It really is a tragicomedy. We read it, Proverbs 26:13. The lazy man says, there's a lion in the road. Fierce lion is in the streets. The point is, he invents things. He invents excuses for his failure, for his inactivity. So, you know, I can't get up. I can't get out there to go to work because there's a lion in the streets. So, you see, he's not only hinged on his bed, so he has a hard time to get up, but he is always making excuses. And in time, the opportunities slip away. The hope of a productive and meaningful life slowly fades. Yeah, in a way, this is part of the results, which we'll see, Lord willing, in our second point. But we also should see that this is part of what is sadly becoming a person's character, his very nature, the kind of person he is. It is possible to repeatedly waste opportunities that we are given. And it becomes the character, the nature of who we are. We read in Proverbs 24:30 and following, that his life was once like a beautiful garden. It had a stone wall. That's for protection. It's for beauty. But, as we read, there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its stone wall was broken. See, it shows a very sad and wasted life. Other Proverbs talk about it. In Proverbs 13:23, it says, for lack of justice, and that's the same word as righteousness. So for lack of justice or righteousness, it says there is waste. Lacking righteousness creates waste. Wasting what you are given. Proverbs 18:9 says, he who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. So here is someone who works, but he's very lazy in it. He's slothful. He's careless. And the Holy Spirit says, such a person is a brother that is very close to a destroyer, which is talking about destroying, that is wasting what you could have from your work. Another proverb shows that a lazy person has a character of coveting. Proverbs 21, this is 25 and 26. In Proverbs 21, it says, the desire of the lazy man kills him. For his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long. Well, the point is, he takes on a character here of coveting. He doesn't want to work for something, but he greedily wants what others have. And then maybe the saddest part of this character is that he lives in self-delusion. That is, he has a false view of himself. He has a fantasy about himself. Well, yeah, in a sense, we've already seen it because he deludes himself when he gave those silly excuses. You know, he can't go to work because there's a lion in the streets. And all the time he's hinged on his bed. But there's more that shows his delusion, his fantasy about himself. We read it in Proverbs 26:16. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. See, this is teaching us that rather than coming to see himself for what he is, simply lazy, he deludes himself. He has this fantasy about himself that he knows. He knows it all. He knows it better than everyone else. And of course, that's a sinful way to simply cover up the truth about yourself. Sometimes when a person gets to where he's wise in his own eyes, he's actually covering up that he doesn't know much at all. But the point here is that Scripture shows us that this kind of delusion, where you think you know it all, and you're hiding the truth about yourself, that typically happens to a lazy person. That's sobering, isn't it? Brothers and sisters, in all of this, we see how God shows the character of a lazy person. He's constantly excusing himself. He's wasting opportunities that are given him. He's coveting. He wants what others have, but he himself doesn't want to have to work for it. And he lives in self-delusion. He doesn't see himself for what he is. And obviously, this will have its results in life. Here too, you reap what you sow. Let's see that in our second point. Very simply, the results of being lazy. Proverbs 15:19 says, we didn't read that, 15:19 says, the way, and that's talking about the life, the way of a lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. In other words, his life is a life of trouble, like a hedge of thorns. You know that thorns is what God promised as a result of sin, right? And so here is a life that continues to show the result of being sinful. There's no redeeming grace in his life. So again, being lazy is a spiritual issue. It results in living sinfully. And our point is that such a life has further results. Proverbs 6:9, which we read, shows a result. When he's confronted with how long are you going to slumber, or when will you get up and get to work, his response is, in verse 10, a little sleep. And the idea there is, a little more sleep. In other words, he puts off. He is what we call procrastinating. He doesn't want to commit himself to, like in verse 9, when. He doesn't want to answer that question, when. So, a little more sleep. And yeah, we should understand, procrastination, putting things off, that's not about having a lot to do and so you plan what's most important to do now and then you plan to do other things later on. That's not procrastination. Instead, it is about putting off something so you don't have to do it. See the difference? And yeah, I'm pretty sure none of us are strangers to this, brothers and sisters. We've seen it in others and maybe also in ourselves. I remember when I was younger, my parents would ask me, for example, you know, when are you going to do this or that? We had a rather large garden, and we had to dig it up with a spade in the fall every year. That was before we had a rototiller. So we did it by hand with a spade, and it was a daunting task. Well, my parents wouldn't say, are you going to do it? Then you could just say, yes, and that's it. There's no commitment there, right? But when they say, when are you going to do it? Well, now you gotta answer, well, this afternoon, tomorrow, sometime, right? And you see, the point is, the one who procrastinates, he doesn't want to answer when. He doesn't want to be pinned down. He doesn't want to commit. Instead, he puts it off to avoid doing it. It's a result of being lazy. Another result is shown in Proverbs 6, verse 11. We read it. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. As the opportunities keep slipping away from putting off going to work, eventually such a person will come into poverty. And you notice it says that poverty comes like a prowler. That word literally is a vagrant or vagabond. So it's a very descriptive way of describing how poverty comes on you. Many of us know what it's like to have a vagrant come to you. You know, he comes to you and he kind of leeches onto you and he keeps bugging you and he demands things. And once you give him something, he'll always demand more and more and more. And for sure, he never wants to work for it. Well, the Holy Spirit says that's how poverty creeps up on a lazy person. He'll never have enough, and need will come upon him. It even says need will come on you like an armed man. Think of how descriptive that is. Need coming on you like an armed man. That shows that poverty has an effect on your life. It's hostile. It's even violent. It ruins your life. And all because you were lazy. There are many, many proverbs about poverty because of laziness. I'll read just a few. Proverbs 10, verses 4 and 5. Proverbs 10, 4 and 5. He who has a slack hand becomes poor. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Proverbs 19:15. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Proverbs 20:4. The lazy man will not plow. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. Now, do you see what all of these proverbs, and there are others too, what they're describing? They're telling us there is a time to protect yourself from poverty. As you know God's blessing, and you know His grace in your life, so that you are thrifty and productive, and you are righteous in your work, God will make sure that you are protected from poverty. I'm sure you know, it's more and more in the so-called news these days, that there is a growing reality that future generations are increasingly going to face poverty. And yes, as government brings us deeper and deeper into debt, you know, by overspending and overborrowing, it will get worse and worse. But brothers and sisters, don't be deceived in this. The real problem is not, first of all, government. The real problem is people. People sadly want to do the least amount of work as possible. And they want to have more and more government benefits. And they live in the delusion that these benefits somehow are free. And yes, there's a lot more to say about that. But just hearing that, it should be clear to all of us that we have lost a truly Christian culture. We have lost the truth about being lazy. We have lost the truth that part of righteousness, part of what we have in Jesus Christ, is that we fight against being lazy. And we see that work, being productive, thrift, industry. That is part of righteousness in Christ. We need to practice this. And we need to train our youth to see this. Young people need to see and understand that the time of youth is a time to study and prepare in order to learn to be a worker, to be in service to the Lord in our daily work. In fact, we should understand, in a way, youth is the summer of life. It's a time to prepare for adulthood, for the time when you will have a harvest. And if youth is spent in laziness, then don't be surprised if later such a person, as it says in Proverbs 20 verse 4, will beg during harvest and have nothing. And also such a person who is lazy in the summer of his life, in his youth, he'll later find himself working at jobs that are just pure drudgery. I've seen this. And there's even a proverb that refers to it. Proverbs 12:24 says, "The lazy man will be put to forced labor." Well, that's not talking about being put in a labor camp, okay? That's talking about the results of being lazy. So that later in life, you only work because you have to. And you find that work is drudgery. Such a person ends up hating work. I've worked with people like that. How different. How different to see work as service to the Lord. To see work as a joy in life. Part of being righteous. Practicing good works before the Lord. And then we should even see that a life of being lazy results in self-neglect. We read it in Proverbs 26:15. "The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth." It describes someone who's so lazy. He puts his hand in his bowl of food and it's too tiring for him to bring it up to his mouth to feed himself. Again, here's a tragic comedy. It makes you laugh. But don't miss it. This is a poetic use by the Holy Spirit, a poetic use to show a complete and utter neglect of oneself. He lets himself go even physically. He just doesn't care. And that's why ultimately all of this results in a life of destruction. Yeah, laziness causes a man to destroy himself. Because as we started out, remember, work is what God created us for. And when we don't do it, we're destroying ourselves. Remember what we read in Proverbs 24 about the garden of the lazy person. It becomes an utter wasteland. It is sad. And in time, the disorder in a person's life becomes, humanly speaking, it becomes irreversible. Such a pattern is a downward spiral that just, humanly speaking, can't be stopped. A pattern of laziness shows a character that ultimately results in destruction. So, you notice I kept saying, humanly speaking. Because we have to ask, is there then no hope? Well, we need to see. God is telling us this is a very serious thing. Being lazy has its sad results and consequences. But let us also see our third point. That there is hope by learning from this and to be wise. In Proverbs 6:6, there's a command here. And it's referred to also in what we read in 24 verses 30 and following. And the command is that the lazy person is to turn from his ways. So here too, as the Holy Spirit uses His Word, we are granted God's grace so that we do what we are called to do. Again, it's very important. Hearing God's Word gives us a means of God's grace so that we really do learn and be wise. So we see two examples. The one is the ant in Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, you sluggard, or you lazy person. Consider her ways and be wise. You notice the sluggard, the lazy man, can be wise. When you first study this, it's very easy to assume that the sluggard or the lazy person, he's a fool. And I say fool as described throughout Proverbs. In other words, somebody who's unsaved, he is without Jesus Christ, and he is without righteousness in Christ. But then we see that the lazy man can become wise. He can become godly. And he can become this by going or looking to the ant. Then he sees his need of Jesus Christ and to have righteousness also in his work. The ant, it says, has no captain, no overseer, no ruler. Captain means a leader. He has no leader, you know, no one prodding him to work. The ant has no overseer. In other words, nobody's inspecting his work. The ant has no ruler. And right away, from the context, it says, it shows that this is a ruler to provide supplies for him or that he has to answer to. The ant works without any of these. And you see, these are all what we would call external forces, right? They kind of compel or force a person to have to work. And yeah, we all, young or old, in one way or another, we know about this. Even children working at home, in the house or in the yard. We all know it's common that people, and maybe it's true of you and me, people need to be prodded to do a certain job, or they just won't do it. People need work inspected. In other words, they just work for the inspection. Just because they know someone's going to check up. So they work. And you see, the Spirit says the ant doesn't have any of these. Yet, the ant is industrious and works. And the obvious point is that's what we're to be like. Working, doing what we are called to do without some external force, coercion, which kind of forces us to work. In other words, we should not just work because we have to. Brothers and sisters, God calls us to work and do a good job without needing prodding. To do a good job without it having being inspected by and checked by someone. This is the wisdom that we have in life in Jesus Christ. Remember, when we are in Christ, we are to work this way. Because in all we do, as we work to serve a boss, as we work to serve our parents and others, in it all we are serving the Lord. The second example, again, to help us get back to work and not be lazy, is to look at the garden of the lazy man, Proverbs 24:30 and following. We read it. Well, we saw the results in our second point, but then notice in verse 32 of Proverbs 24, it says, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. I pray that speaks deeply to each of us. I considered it well, I looked on it, I received instruction. Just by looking at this wasted garden. You see, by God's grace, you come to realize. Literally, you look. You come to know. Yeah, here is not someone who, as is often said, had an unlucky time in life. It's not someone who just didn't get any breaks. It's not someone who had kind of a disorder, you know, what modern psychology will give excuse for. All these are ways to keep on from being a fool. Keep on being lazy. And the point is, here is someone who just made too many excuses, who kept procrastinating, lived in delusion. Well, all those things that we saw in our first 2 points. And by God's grace to us, we come to see this, we consider it well. And in Jesus Christ, we receive grace to become wise. So there's hope then. We learn. We learn to work. Not work as a workaholic. You know, where you're addicted to work. And yeah, there's no time to go into all of that. But that's not what it is. And nor is it to work, you know, so we just get rich. Or we get to the top, so we're a big shot. There is that kind of thing too. None of it is about that. In fact, Proverbs, there's a proverb that cautions us about this. Proverbs 23:4-5. 23:4-5. It says this. Do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding, cease. Doesn't say cease working, but don't overwork. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Well, the point is we need to be wise in Jesus. Again, He is our wisdom. And when we truly are in Jesus Christ, we go from being a fool to being wise. We learn from the ant, and we learn from that garden of the lazy man. And then we work. But we work to serve our Creator and not to serve our passions. Right? And in the process, God, we confessed this earlier, in His grace, He blesses us. Maybe with riches, but at least He blesses us with a lack of poverty, so that we are not in need. Brothers and sisters, young people, all of us, by God's grace, in Christ, we receive a heart that finds joy in work. A joy of being a help to others through our work. A joy of being productive. And that means even if nobody else sees it, still being productive. Remember what we read for law in 2 Thessalonians 3? Do not grow weary in doing good. And we saw that that has to do with being orderly in life, right? Disorderly is to be not working and being a busybody. So it's God's grace, and we should not go get weary in that. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, congregation, if we're really honest about ourselves, we all get lazy. We cut corners in our work, and we hope nobody will see it. In one way or another, I pray we can see that there is something of the sluggard in all of us. If we truly see it, then may we also see we have an ongoing need of Jesus Christ. Ongoing need of Christ. So that we are wise in Christ. And we are that also in regards to our work. Over the years I've seen, you know, when there is things that need to be done, there are some who are very quick to pitch in and help. And there are others who stand by and they kind of watch. They always are content to let others do it. Children, how often do you need to be prodded about your work by your parents? How often do you only do it because you know mom and dad are going to check? May God in His grace work in every one of us, that when we are lazy, we aren't like the one who is ungodly or like the fool. You know, such a person can look at the ant, hear what we heard, see that ruined garden, and he still won't learn. That's sad. But you see, the wise, the one who is in Christ, he's teachable. He learns the lessons. Yeah, from both the ant and from this garden. And he's given a heart that learns to be diligent and learns to work faithfully. Oh, let us remember, part of being righteous in Jesus Christ is also how we work. That we are willing and we are eager to do all that we do because we know that in it we are serving the Lord. I'm sure many of you know this psalm. It's Psalm 37, verse 25. Maybe you don't know the reference, it's common with me, but you've heard this verse. Psalm 37, 25. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. You see, the righteous, that's also in terms of his work and industry, as we've heard. He's not forsaken. And even his children, his descendants, they learn to work. And because of God's blessing to them, they have their daily bread. They have their basic needs. God is faithful. And he is so gracious. For our benediction, we're going to hear from 2 Corinthians 9:10. And you will hear this promise, that God will increase the fruits of your righteousness. And brothers and sisters, don't put that off in some kind of a never-neverland righteousness. We have heard, we have seen. That's also about our daily work. And so, by faith, look up to God and receive that promise. He will increase your righteousness also in your work. Amen. Let us pray. Well, Father, we bow our hearts before you. And we give you thanks that you speak to us in your mercy and grace in Jesus Christ. And we pray that each one of us might examine our lives in the light of your word and see in what ways we so much need this. And we may praise you for your grace and mercy to still speak to us and give us instruction so that we change. Father, your word comes to us not so that we can just simply be blocks and stocks, but you speak to us so that our lives become more like what you have given it for in Jesus Christ. And so, again, we pray that your word may accomplish the purpose that you've given it to us here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.